Welcome to the MegaCast.
Welcome to episode 65 of the MegaCast, and it's been a while. Good evening, everyone. I'm back, finally.
Who are you again?
Yeah, I know. It's a bit like that, isn't it, at this point in time? I've been away for a long, long time, doing weird things and...
Weird people.
Just being weird, basically.
No, I'm not weird doing places. Weird people. That's yeah, I'm in weird places now. More north, I should say, than ever before. Well, not ever before, but more north in the past few years. That's for dang sure. But we'll get into what everyone's been up to because it's... I've got to catch up, boys. Wilco, what have you been up to, man, for the past couple of weeks since I have been absent?
A lot of things since you've been absent, but in particular the last couple of weeks. Actually, no, I lie. I've been playing Hand of Fate 2 for the last probably 3 weeks since I've talked to you last, and I'm still trying to finish it because I'm pretty much lacking in hours to play games. So that's been fun. I'm enjoying it. We went through my impressions last week. They haven't really changed. I'm still enjoying it. I'm still trying to get there, so... very, very good Brizzy devs. So Defiant Developments, shout out to them. They actually came up in our podcast last night for Super Hype Train because the two people, Miss Megs and Anthony Wood from Screwtape Studios, making Damsel, actually do a bit of work for them on the side as well. So shout out to all those lovely people. So it was really good podcast last night.
Good stuff.
Yeah, we played the Game of the Year nominated Player Unknown Battlegrounds on Friday night for about four hours.
Mate, didn't that cause some shit in Discord? Holy fuck.
Not just in Discord, man. That's all over the nets. That's fucking peaking some conversations all over the place. So, yeah, we played that for about 4 hours, realized how bad the game actually is over those 4 hours, and got 3 seconds. I don't know if we're going to discuss it later, but dudes, I really still don't think it's an actual game. I think it's a game mode. Like, there's one map, there's one mode, and that's it. That's all it is. But it's a game, technically, for all intents and purposes. 4 hours we played that for, so that was good fun. Played with Pez, played with Dash. Actually, no, Dash was just there talking. Played with Stevie Jar, played with Last Wave, played with McDad, and then played with Benny, too, until he... I know Dog the Boys and Vanished. I got disconnected. I don't know what happened.
Benny Dog and the Boys, as per usual. Far out.
Yeah, no, it's good. So, yeah, that was pretty good. As we said, been getting some big guests on Super Hype Train the last couple of weeks. So, as I said, Damsel guys were on last night. So, I played some Damsel. They've given me a code. They're going into Steam Early Access in the next probably 10 days. So this is the beta code before it goes to early access. So it's pretty much most of the game. Played about an hour of that on stream last night. Had a really good fun. So that was good. Also, Dave, I think it is, for making Sprike. It's Dave, isn't it, Josh?
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, he's pushing the little demo that they had at PAX at the moment for Sprike as well.
Which
so
is
you can
fun.
Download that.
Which is yeah, a lot of fun.
Quick 5 levels that you basically, it's all about speed running, platforming and dying a lot. And,
what are your times
learning.
Like?
Terrible.
Absolutely. Where do you sit overall?
Why doesn't that surprise me at all, Wilco?
I've had 2 runs of this game and that's it in my life. So I started at 2 minutes 20 for a combined 5 minute run, a 5 level run. I then knocked it down to a minute 35.
Yeah, right.
I know I was taking the long way on a fair few of the puzzles, but I just wanted to get the mechanics going, so I will play it again fairly soon. And I'll get it down to about a minute fairly easily, but going under that, that'll be tough. So looking forward to getting better at it.
At PAX, I swear they had people doing like 40 seconds for all 5 levels.
43 to 44, he was saying on Facebook today. Actually, happy birthday to Dave. Turned 39 today. Congratulations,
mate.
Happy birthday, Dave. But yeah, he put out a video today, I'm pretty sure it was, saying, look, this is the best he can do. It was about a 45, but he said still not on the...
Is this 45 seconds for the entire game, like a run through all 3 levels or something?
Yeah, all five levels.
See, every time you die, it's only your completed run through of this level.
Oh,
so if you die,
it
pops up again. So it's only actual successful runs, but that's over 5 levels, 45 seconds to get through these 5 levels. And the game's made up by heaps and heaps of levels. So, but that's what it's all about. Like, some of the paths he was taking was full on. I didn't even consider going that way on some of them and some of the jumps he was doing. So
I definitely need to get this game. I love speedrun stuff. I think I'd enjoy that greatly.
Yeah, get the hands on, man.
Links on his Twitter. I think it's on our Twitter. I think it's in our Discord. Yeah. Just download the demo, man. It's good fun.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out. Yeah. Is the demo like a part of online, like you do your times and stuff and then they all go up?
No, not yet.
That'll be
it's basically just what he showed at PAX. So there's no real online component to it as of yet.
So at this stage, yeah, it's bragging rights. You take photos of the screen, unless you can print screen or whatever you've got set up for your screen capture.
Fair enough. I'd be keen to take some photos anyway.
Yeah, I've got mine too, and I'm going to keep on going with it because it's really good fun. The music is beautiful. And yeah, just once you get in the rhythm of it, it's really good. And obviously, it just loads straight away. As soon as you make a mistake, you go straight back to the start. There's no in between. So it really gets that flow going. Been really, really enjoying that.
Is there like a time penalty or something if you fuck up? Like, is that?
No, nothing. Oh, it's nice. Just, you failed, you start again. Failed, start again. And it's just one of those things of every time you get inch a little bit closer to the final path and, you basically do the level a few times before you realize where you can cut corners, just basically memorizing the level, basically. So definitely, yeah, once two or three, four run throughs, you'll start really getting down your times, which will be good. And it's really fun to see that too. And obviously when the game goes full, you'll be able to see leaderboards and stuff like that, and it'll get really competitive. So,
and if you want any more info about the game direct from Dave, don't forget to go to our website and read the interview that I had with him at PAX, because he goes into a fair bit and about the game there and is where he got the idea from, all that kind of stuff. And so really good read.
Yeah, sweet.
Also, join us on the 11th of December. We will have him on our podcast, Super Hype Train, to have a chat about the game as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you've been doing a whole bunch, Wilco, to be completely honest.
Yeah, man, I wrote four articles last week. So I did the impressions of Odd Gods, and I did my sort of impressions of Hand of Fate 2 and sort of a review in progress or hands-on impression sort of article as well, which was good. I enjoyed finally getting some content out for that. I did my two interviews. I wrote them up with Wargaming, so where I got to talk to Travis from Wargaming about free-to-play games and Jungwon.
They're a bit of a talking point at this point in time, aren't they?
Yeah, look, they've been doing it for years. They're fine. Like, the way they do it, they're up front. You buy what you want. There's no loot crates. There's just, this is it, and you get premium time. It's the model they've used for a long time, and it's free to play. So, but the fact, like, the interesting part is we've got a game here. It's a 50 gigabyte or plus download, but it's free to play. How do you get that to Australians really easily? So it was this thing that you don't really think about. Look, it's a free to play game. Yeah, they'll be able to get that to as many people as they can, but then there's that big wall of entry is the download in Australia. So they're talking about maybe doing retail releases of it, of things like that down the track, where they, you know, $20 gets you like $40 worth of in-game currency for premium time and stuff like that. Plus you get a physical disc you can go and install onto your machine, which is a smart way around that. So, but yeah, that's all in the article. Go read all that. And I also talked to Josh from Creative Assembly. And really, from that discussion, it's about Total War Arena. I understand exactly why Creative Assembly is at the top of their game as far as historical games go. Josh, man, he's the most passionate person I've ever talked to. And it's purely he knows everything off the top of his head about historical times. Like, he was going through each different character and giving me a full backstory, just straight, you could see it was straight off his head. It wasn't pre-rehearsed or anything like that. This is just he's just telling me facts out of his head, and he's so passionate and proud about these facts that he's giving me. And like, he writes a lot of the backstory that you see in games, so it's all historically accurate stuff. And he's it's just blew me away about and really hit home at why these guys are so good at what they do. So
you're just a genuine history buff.
Yeah, so there's about 4,500 words or maybe actually 5,500 words if you want to go read all those articles. Plus, then this week we'll get some more out. So I've promised Dylan to get Elden Path of the Forgotten impressions out, and we'll get Rimu hopefully impressions out, and hopefully
I'm gonna get my Damsel stuff out this week. Now that I'm back and on board, my Damsel stuff will be coming out very, very shortly, which is good. Finally, far
so
out.
That's cool. We've got locked in just quickly on Super Hype Train. So as I said, Spryke is the 11th. We've got on the 4th of December, Timothy from Cardboard Keep, which is the guys making Witch Thief, which I think you're probably going to do a little bit on.
Yeah, Witch Thief is rad.
Yeah, so he's going to be there to talk about that. We've got someone, James, I think it is, from Devil Dice Studios, talking about Chroma Shift on the 18th.
Is it called Devil Dice Studios?
Dev or Die, D-E-V-O-R.
Devil or Die. I thought you said Devil Dice, and I was like, that was a really rad PS1 game, Devil Dice. That was a fucking sick game, actually.
That was a good game.
And yeah, I'm talking to Juicy Cupcake about getting them on this coming Monday for Brief Battles, which is they're an Adelaide mob making a pretty fun little game where you get underwear and that's your power-ups is what underwear you wear. So Brief Battles looks pretty good. So
it's like the opposite to Mario's hats, kind of, but kind of not too.
The only other thing we'll talk about in probably 5 minutes is the Star Wars Drama Front 2 that I've been listening to and watching and reading. I've never consumed so much content about a game in my life. Just, it's been so fascinating.
Yeah. We'll get into that shortly because, God damn.
Anyway, so Joey, we got no Joey this week. That's sad.
No, I realized we're about 10 minutes into the podcast. I actually didn't introduce anyone. I was just like, we're back, Wilco, what have you been up to? So I'm joined tonight by Wilco and Josh. Joey, unfortunately, is pulling his computer apart and putting it back together and making it all new and nice and stuff like that. So he's not joining us tonight. But
we have Pez too, but Pez chose his wife over us, unfortunately. So yeah, sorry. We'll hopefully get him on in the next couple of weeks. If not, yeah, we love you, Pez.
If I had a sound effect for a whip, I would definitely be playing like 20 of them right now. I might even just edit it in there. We'll see what happens.
Do that,
Pez. You beautiful man. Josh, we'll do you now. What have you been doing over the past couple of weeks, my friend, my bro?
Game-wise, I spent a bit of time with you ugly mug.
Yes, you have.
Through that time, which is good. It's good to actually be able to sit down and spend time with you. And that's my dog barking in the background. He can shut the fuck up. Spent some time with you. From a game front, I haven't played a lot. What I've focused on at the moment is Assassin's Creed Origins.
How are you enjoying that?
Yeah, I am. I actually really am. I'm disappointed. The one thing that I'm really disappointed in is I haven't had what feels like enough time to sit down and get into a good game session, if that makes sense. Like, it's not a game that you can really sit down and do 5 minutes and walk away, or 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You really need like a good hour or two to sit down and... Because everything you do does take a bit of time to get around the map and go to each quest and do all that kind of thing, you know. So you really do need a chunk of time to sit down and play that game.
Yeah, because I'm extremely tempted because I think I've seen a few CD key stores going for about 40% and PSN's now got a 35% discount on it. And I'm
Look, it is a really good game. I am actually really enjoying it. And I think it harkens back to it makes me feel playing this game makes me feel like I felt when I was playing the original trilogy of Assassin's Creed a little bit.
Did you play Witcher 3 at all?
Yeah, I've played Witcher 3.
Can I just correct you? Sorry, Josh, there was no original trilogy of Assassin's Creed. There was Assassin's Creed 1 and then there was a trilogy from 2.
Well, you know what I meant.
But you know.
Yeah.
Corrections here coming corrections, from old Matthew Jerkins.
Yeah,
because I'm hearing a few people comparing it to that of the Witcher 3 where it's that RPGs.
That's a fair comparison. That is a pretty fair comparison. The one thing that I found difficult with The Witcher was there was so much to do, that makes sense. Like, if you walk away from that game for a week from The Witcher and come back, you sit down and go, okay, well, now what the hell was I doing? Why am I here? Which one of these 20 million quests am I doing, you know?
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
But The Witcher also had some of the best writing I've
experienced
in a game.
Yeah.
For instance, that was it the Baron, the Bloody Baron quest line, the three witches where you fight them in the swamp and stuff like that, the whole Skellige quest line. Like the writing in that game, yes, there was a lot to do and yes, it was sort of overwhelming at times, but man, that was... I remember that game better than I remember most games. Yep. You know what I mean?
That's fair. That's fair. Look, I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying it was a bad game. That was just one thing that I found difficult with. It was the amount of stuff and trying to choose what to do. Mm. Assassin's Creed probably doesn't have that much choice. It's still got a good deal of choice and there's still a good deal of things to do, but it never feels like, or at the moment where I'm at, to it doesn't feel like there's too much and I struggle to choose what to do next. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that was honestly, I understand what you're saying with Witcher 3, and that was sort of where I left it, and I just couldn't get back into it.
Yeah,
I tried.
Yeah, so, look, I am really enjoying it. It's a good game. It is a really good game.
Did you get the gold edition or the standard edition?
No, just standard edition. Just the standard edition. Now, with that said, as I think I said it on the last podcast too, I'm still not 100% sure if I'm enjoying this Assassin's Creed game so much because I haven't played a good Assassin's Creed game for years, or because it's a good game. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Like if they had released another Assassin's Creed last year that you've slogged through, would you be enjoying this one?
Yeah, that's the hard. It's so different though to the previous ones in the series I don't know.
Is it so different though? Like, I can understand that it's different, but is it really so different?
I don't know if you'd say so different. It is different. It's similar but different. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like, it's got enough, or the majority of it's still that similar Assassin's Creed gameplay kind of thing.
But they changed the whole progression of it.
Yeah, enough differences to make it seem new and exciting.
Yeah. Let's put it like this: for a person who did not know that game, and you put it in front of them, would they be like, "Oh, this is the new Assassin's Creed game"?
Yes.
Then nothing is different.
Well, that's, not that's, that different that's because it's got a big title on it called Assassin's Creed.
Well, yeah, if they missed the title, you know, if you just booted them in and said, hey, play this, and they'd played the other ones, would they be able to be like, oh, this is the new Assassin's Creed game?
It would take them a while to make it.
You reckon?
Yes. Because it's funny, I have sunk a few hours into it, and at no point has the main character been referenced as an assassin.
Because this is the prelude.
It would take them a while to if they really had no idea, hadn't seen any, like a totally new experience, hadn't seen any of the promotional article, anything like that, it would probably take them a while to make that leap.
Because your progression is more true RPG where you are leveling up, actually, and enemies have level numbers. You are getting loot that is level specific, where before you were just upgrading your items on you. You weren't actually, oh, here's a new sword, here's a new this, here's a new that from
So you would end up making that link once, you know, the first instance came out where you hopped out of an animus is where you'd make that link. But until that point, which was, you know, a good fair few hours into the game.
Oh, the animus is back?
Yeah.
Has to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did they drop that storyline? They dropped that storyline.
It's a new storyline involving the animus. I'm interested to see where it goes. That's all I'm saying.
Is Desmond in it?
No, he's dead, man.
I didn't know that. See, that's how long it's been since I played a fucking Assassin's Creed game. He probably died in number 3.
The last few were, this is take the animus for a spin and see what you find kind of rental service. That's where the story got boiled down to.
And, sweet.
So they took it out basically, but they still kept it there.
So anyways, I've been playing Assassin's Creed. Been playing a bit of Shovel Knight. I picked that up on the Switch.
That's so good.
So I've been playing a little bit of that. But I've got to say the majority of my time over the past 7 days has been spent reading. So Tuesday, I picked up the new Brandon Sanderson book, 450,000 words. I finished it Sunday.
Can we get Gowie on to talk about Dota 2?
We're fucking reviewing books now, Jesus. Actually, we probably should review books. That'd be cool. You should do a write-up for the website. That might go down well.
But
now, how many pages did you have to buy with extra money in that book?
There is some DLC that you can get.
Sweet.
Now, look,
I'm happy.
So I finished that and it was good. That's where I've spent most of my time over the past week. But then my brother and I and our beautiful partners also on the weekend went and saw the Justice League movie.
Oh, yeah, we did.
And
best 7 out of 10 movie you've ever seen, I bet.
You know what?
I did give it a very solid 7 out of 10 in the chat, didn't I? I was like,
It was a good movie. It wasn't a great, it wasn't a great Avengers movie or anything like that. And there were some fucking horrible lines, but it was still an enjoyable movie. And you can't.
I found it good.
I'm happy with that.
I found it, it wasn't. Yeah, it was above average. Like, it wasn't It wasn't great. It was good. It was good.
Good. It was good.
It was good. Solid 7 out of 10. Yeah. There was some stuff that really bothered me, but overall it was enjoyable 2 hours.
Yeah. Okay. So it was good. It was good. You know, it's Booyah. Not... fuck. I'm a believer.
Oh my God. There are some lines.
I got to say,
they just force... they're not great. They force one-liners every 5 minutes. And if it doesn't work, they force another one in the 6th minute. And it's just...
There are some one-liners that work, and some of them just fall flat on their face, man.
Yeah, some of them I had a bit of a lol, like laughed out loud in the theater. I was like, ha ha ha, ha ha ha, it's fucking pretty good, mate. But like, there was other ones that, you don't have the stereotypical black character directly after beating, you know, the final enemy, go, booyah. That is just, this is just fucking bad writing. There's no, what are you doing?
I don't know, man. That was bad. That was bad. But no, it was an enjoyable movie. Let's just say that and leave it at that. You know?
Yeah.
So that's
yeah. I can deal with leaving it at that.
Yeah, that's me. Cool. That's been my week, I guess.
Mm.
Oh,
so well, Kirko, what have you been doing?
I lied.
Moving house, man.
I lied.
Oh, hold on. Whoa. Step back. What have you been doing, Josh?
I've played Sprite as well. That's
better. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, we've talked about that. Yeah, righto. You fucking jump over my incredible, incredible couple of weeks that I've had.
You haven't been here for a while, mate, so your seniority's dropped.
Yeah, and I haven't really been doing too much, to be completely honest with you. Just been sitting around.
Okay, cool. Let's go into the news then.
Yeah, let's do this. No. So I moved to North Queensland.
Packed
the family up.
Not quite north.
It's central north central Queensland.
I'll give you that.
We're sunny north town of Mackay. Yeah, bit north of central. So I'm back up in Mackay now. I spent 20 years here and spent the last 7 years down in Brisbane. And now I'm back up in Mackay. I own a house up here, for those who don't know. And when the mining crash happened, I lost a shit ton of money. Grabbed the family, moved back up here for a bunch of different reasons, money being one of them, family being another one. And that's where I've been for the past few weeks, getting my life sorted up here and fixing the house, which...
Did you put a door on?
I put a door on tonight. I'm really, really enjoying fixing this house, like really enjoying it. It's therapeutic, like coming home in the afternoon and like working on stuff and like sanding things and, you know... installing doors and ceiling fans and blinds and all sorts of stuff. It's actually really, it's really quite nice. I'm enjoying it a lot. Other than that, I'm doing the same job that I was always doing. I'm just doing it remotely from the Mackay office now, still managing a team. It's really hard to manage a team from 1200 Ks away. Can I just put it out there? So I'm getting used to, you know, managing away and remote management. That's pretty hard. On the gaming side of things, I've been trying to keep up. We only got internet installed last Thursday.
Was it NBN or was it normal?
Ooh, yeah, NBN. It's NBN. Wow. Yeah, it's NBN, which I'm kind of surprised with, because I was expecting, because it's fiber to the node, not fiber to the premises in Mackay. And for those who don't know, fiber to the node means it goes to the closest node. The closest node is about 800 meters away from my house, which means that 800 meters is... the old school bad Mackay copper, underground copper. So I was expecting not very good speed. So I'm getting about 40 down, 20 up, which is pretty good. It's not the 100 down, 40 up that I'm used to, but it's not too bad. I've been playing a lot of just computer, like bot matches of Dota 2, because the new patch for that came out, and I've been checking that out and stuff, and I might be playing some ranked hopefully pretty soon, because the new ranked season for Dota 2 starts in like 48 hours or something like that. I think they're going the whole... Before, half the reason I quit playing Dota 2 is because I used to get... I used to drink while playing, and you don't do that. You lose a lot of matches because Dota 2 requires, you know...
You to not be drunk?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's definitely one way to put it, yes. So I was up around the 3,000 MMR, which was respectable, and then went on this massive, you know, 6 to 8 month thing where I was like, oh, I'm going to get drunk and play Dota, and drop my MMR down to 1,500, which is just hell on earth. So then you can't really reset your MMR or do anything. So I just quit playing because those matches weren't enjoyable anymore because I was playing with like actual potato people. So that sucked. And then they announced that they're doing the whole Overwatch thing where you can sort of, they have seasons of MMR now. So I'm going to jump back in and see how I go.
Excellent. That's so exciting, man.
That starts in like 48 hours. Still playing a lot of Tekken 7 when I get chances as well.
That's on discount on the PSN sale as well.
Mm. Yeah, he's like $40 or something.
Yeah.
So pick it up, come fight me. I went on an incredible... I play on both PC and PS4 now. PC, I find the caliber of player is generally a little bit better than PS4. More people are playing
what
it on PC as well.
Wow.
Oh, I don't know. Just it seems
PC
like all the...
PC Master Race or what?
No, and I'm not trying to say that. The guys who actually go to tournaments and stuff all play on PC, and I verse a lot of them quite regularly, especially their alt characters and stuff, which is pretty hard sometimes. But I went on a massive losing streak and dropped two ranks the other day, so I'm pretty low at the moment. I've got to get
now,
back.
Now, we had a discussion last week. Can you clarify something for us?
Mm.
You moved your whole family to Mackay, everything and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Where on the priority list was your Tekken deck to get that out of boxes and get that unpacked and set up
on your list? Pretty... No, not. It was pretty early, but it wasn't like the first thing.
Yeah,
I just started unpacking. Like we got like sets. The first thing was I had Jess is the boss, and she was like, get Seth's room set up first. I was like, okay, cool. And then get our bed set up so we can sleep. Yeah. I was like, okay, cool. And then it was the gaming stuff.
Because I saw those pictures of the old hitbox pretty quickly, and I'm like, yeah, I don't think Seth's sleeping in a bed tonight, but he's got his...
No, he was. He'd been sleeping in bed for a couple of days.
You're a smart man with that, Matt. I just want to point that out to you, mate. Very smart man. You know, doing
the first time,
that order.
First time he's ever heard that.
Yeah, so... But actually, we unpacked relatively quickly. It took us 2 months to pack.
Yeah,
and we unpacked in about a day and a half, two days.
Once I finally got there.
Yeah, fuck, don't even get me started on that. So, all right, story time. Story time with Uncle Perko. So we shopped around for a bit to find a decent removalist because we didn't want to pay stupid amounts of money because a lot of the people were quoting us like, you know, $4,000 and all that sort of stuff. And we're like, fuck this. We found a place that was like $2,000. And we were like, okay, this place seems pretty good. Booked it in, paid a deposit. And it got to... They were supposed to pick it up on Monday. When was it? Monday the 6th, was it?
Yeah,
I can't remember. November.
Would have been about that.
Yeah, Monday the 6th or something of November, I think it was. They were supposed to pick up the stuff. On the 3rd of November, which is a Friday, I get a text message saying, hey, Matt, it's old mate removalist here. Are you flexible with the pickup date?
Exact question you want to get.
Yeah, 3 days before. So I called him and I said, no. And he said, what if we can't? I was like, no, you are going to be here to pick my shit up. And I expect it to be in Mackay 2 days later, like we arranged on the Wednesday. He's like, okay, cool, blah, 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 blah. And they came, picked it up on the Monday. They got here. Everything got loaded on. And then we decided to bail on the rental and let the bond money that we'd invested do the cleaning and stuff like that. So we drove up on the Tuesday with Seth and got here Tuesday evening expecting the truck with all our stuff in it to get here the following day, or at the very latest early Thursday morning. I then got like bedridden sick for 2 days. I fucking just about couldn't move. I think it was all the stress of moving and just stress of job and all that sort of stuff built up on me, and I got tonsillitis or something and just pretty much laid in bed for 2 days. By the time I was good on Thursday afternoon, the truck wasn't here. I messaged old mate and he said, it'll be there tomorrow morning, Friday morning. I said, okay, cool. And then Friday morning rolled around and it wasn't here. And I messaged him and he said, it'll be there this afternoon. I said, okay, cool. And then Friday afternoon rolled around, it wasn't there. And I messaged him and he said, it'll be there tomorrow morning. So I rang him and I said, I more or less told him, I said, mate, it gets here tomorrow. Like, or else, like, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to write you a bad Yelp review or some weird shit. I fucking don't know what I was going to do. I said, fucking make it. It gets here tomorrow, mate. Like, I've got, you know, it was supposed to be here on Wednesday. It's now Saturday. Get it here. Saturday morning rolls around. Still doesn't rock up. I call him and I say, he says, oh, it'll be there this afternoon. I said, fuck. All right, here we go. It did rock up on Saturday. It rocked up about 5:30 p.m. on Saturday. So we had Sunday to put the house together before I started work on Monday.
Easy.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a stressful week. It wasn't a holiday by any means. But during that week, I played a bit of Symphony in the Night, Castlevania Symphony of the Night on my PS Vita. Got to the part where the whole... I actually accidentally finished the game without the real ending because I beat old mate and I was like, oh shit, I didn't want to finish the game. So then I went back and if you do it right, the whole castle flips and inverts and you have to pretty much beat the game again with an upside down castle, which is pretty cool. So I'm up to that part. It's really rad. And I tried to play Prey again.
The latest one.
Still don't really like it.
Yeah, the one that came out. Was it this year? It was last year, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried to play it again.
Still not getting into it.
Nah, I don't know why. Hey,
it's weird, man.
Like, it seems like it would be right up my alley, but it's just shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't like it. So that's Path of Exile. I'm going to get back into that very shortly as well because there's a new expansion coming out for that very soon, which I'm really excited about. Yeah, Joey's going to
talk about that later. If he's not here, we don't talk about it.
Yeah, so he didn't want me to mention it tonight. It is coming out very, very soon, the Path of Exile expansion, and I'm keen to jump back in,
play some of that. Joey gave us the thing that said, I can't make it tonight, sorry, boys. And then the only other bit of direction he gave us was make sure Matthew talks about Path of Exile. Bye.
Mm, yeah.
That's it.
Man, if I could put that as game of the year, it might be, but it wasn't released this year, so I can't really. So I've spent a lot of... Out of all the games that I've played this year, I've probably spent the most time with Persona 5, Tekken 7, and Path of Exile. The three games that I have spent most time with. And even then, Tekken 7 is probably the most. And Path of Exile is probably second, I would say, this year.
Can I just quickly say to Stevie Jar, if you're listening, you know, I know you are, this is the time you need to buy your PS4 because Persona 5 that Perko just mentioned is on sale half price on PSN.
Yeah, it is. It's very cheap right now.
And Horizon Zero Dawn's like 50 or 60% off as well, or 40% off as well. So do it, mate. Just jump and get the Switch at Christmas. You'll be right. Okay.
Yep.
Sorry.
Agreed. Now let's do this.
This is the fucking news.
Hey, gents, there was just a little bit of shit happened in the past week.
That's the rumour.
I don't remember anything. I thought it was a boring week, actually, as far as news goes. Let's move on to the feedback.
Let's kick off with a bit of a segue. Disney has shut down Marvel Heroes,
which is
a little bit sad, I guess.
I thought they were trying to bring it back.
That's why it surprised me so much, because it hit consoles this year, I think. It hit consoles this year, and then they finally did the what they'd done with the consoles. They did that update to the computer to the PC version. Yeah. So I thought they were trying to really push it and bring it back, but obviously it just wasn't doing whatever it needed to do for them.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. Hey, it is a very, very weird one. Yeah, I don't know why they've done. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't really know why they've done this. This is the official statement. We regret to inform our Marvel Heroes fans that we have ended our relationship with Gazillion Entertainment and that the Marvel Heroes games will be shut down. We would like to sincerely thank the players who joined the Marvel Heroes community and will provide any further updates as they become available. And that was a rep from Marvel actually stated that. So it's a bit of a weird one. Maybe it wasn't them, but maybe it was Gazillion.
Yeah. Yeah, it does sound like that. It sounds like a licensing issue, and whoever has the rights to the game wasn't able to.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Gazillion ran out of money. I don't know. Maybe they weren't getting paid. It sounds like apparently Gazillion, they missed like a whole bunch of community updates and stuff like that, and they missed a whole bunch of their deadlines. Yeah. So maybe Gazillion's in trouble.
Maybe Gazillion does not have the gazillions that its name suggests.
You're the worst. Just the worst.
I had to do it. I had to do it.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't have to at all.
Well. So
yeah, I don't know. It's another one. It sucks because I did play that game. It was pretty fun.
I never got around to it, but from everything I heard, and it was actually going fairly well as far as I was aware. So Diablo, but in the Marvel universe. So.
Yeah, it was. It was very a lot more arcadey than Diablo. Yeah. I played Hulk, and I've got a few characters. I played that quite a bit actually, but yeah, I really enjoyed that game. I got to the end game content, and did a few raids and everything. It wasn't too bad. It was very enjoyable. Decent little game. Sad to see it go. That's for sure. Now Disney have sort of been in the news for a different reason this week, and if you pay attention to absolutely any sort of social media or gaming news or anything like that, you've surely heard about the massive clusterfuck that has been the Star Wars Battlefront 2 launch with EA at the helm. Oh, mate.
What the... Yeah.
Where do you even begin with this?
Last week we were up to... They just cut the
micros.
No, we weren't even up to that yet. So the hero costs have been cut by 75%. There was developers getting death threats, which we have now found out was a fake developer.
How random was that? That's like it's just fake.
He'd been faking. He was faking as a developer for like 2 or 3 years, and people like had built up relationships with him, assuming that he was telling the truth that he was a developer. And then he's come out with this saying, I've had death threats and assault, harassment stuff. And then I think Kotaku did some investigating.
I think it was Kotaku.
And basically the dude pulled EA dev from his Twitter handle and refused to respond. And EA did their own internal investigations.
Didn't know who the hell he was or anything like that.
Yeah, nothing. So that all happened.
That did.
It's just
ridiculous, man. I can't think of another launch. Like No Man's Sky wasn't even this much of a clusterfuck, and that's saying something.
And see, well, it's even Metacritic 0.9. I think it was going at for a while there as the review of it. We've had, obviously, we talked last week
which
about
which sucks, because by all accounts, the game actually isn't that bad.
The game, from I've consumed so many reviews, written and video over the weekend about this game. Most people say the single player is average at best. It's disjointed and it just is more
of
a...
Yeah, it's not 0.9. It's not a 0.9 game.
No,
at best, it's like a 6 or a 7, maybe a 7. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like the Justice League, but in game form. You know, it's not a 0.9.
No, it's 0.9's way under. But that's happened. And then I think probably the biggest moment I've seen in gaming journalism in a long time, where all of a sudden EA's turned around and pulled the microtransactions on Thursday morning.
They pulled it in a bit of a weird way. We even reported on that they'd pulled them from some of our insider information in the Discord, which was pretty damn cool to get as it was happening, I must admit.
That was the thing. It was just happening happening. Like, obviously, people brought it to our attention, and then all of a sudden it happened.
But the general consensus is now they're definitely coming back.
Oh, they said in their tweet or their press release of it, this is only temporary. They'll be coming back when we can work out a better way to do it, a more fair way.
Yeah, I've got a better way to do it. Don't fucking do it.
Yeah.
How about that for a better way?
Yeah, look, we all agree. I just want to touch quick. I talked about this in Locked On the other night, because the only game I could come up that was close to where it locks heroes away behind a time sink is Rainbow Six Siege. And Rainbow Six Siege does it well. So I was trying to work out the differences there, and we fairly well did.
When you're saying that's the only game you can think of,
the differences
that locks heroes behind a time sink. Are you thinking that style of gameplay? Because then, we had the discussion last week that is a concept. That concept of sinking time into a game and then unlocking another character or another hero has been around for many, many, many years in many different forms, through fighting games, through arcade games, through a whole bunch of different stuff. Like even looking at like games like Devil May Cry, finishing the game in a certain way, unlocking, Virgil, Dante's brother that you can play as and stuff like that. So that concept isn't a new concept. It's not a new concept. It's been around for years.
No. It's definitely new for Star Wars, though. And
the difference is the insidious nature that EA are going about, like, everything. That's the whole difference is their nature. For instance, it's like being a parent, right? You can be a good parent by being mean to your kid. Not being mean to your kid, but, like, disciplining your kid, right? Like, I discipline Seth because I want him to be better. My intentions are good. My intentions are true. They're just. Then you can just be a parent who just beats your kid because you're a piece of shit. That's EA. Like that. Yeah. Like you can do microtransactions well.
Yeah, it's been proven when
you have the gamers in mind. When you have the gamers in mind and you go, we are genuinely doing this because, yes, we want to make money because we need to make money, but we're also doing it in a way that is going to benefit the gamer and not, lock people behind paywalls or not be paid to win or all that sort of shit. We're going to do this the best way that we possibly can. EA just going, we want money. We're going to investigate ways to make the most money out of the people dumb enough to buy our games.
So this is the part that really is the bit that's got everyone offside as far as reviewers and everything like that, is as you go further through the game, they actively make it harder to get content from the game. Now, each loot box will randomly give you stuff, but there's no ability
to say... Kind of sounds like Destiny 2, but anyway.
Yeah, look, it does, honestly. I'll have my word on that another time, but they give you random things every time. They don't take into account what you've already got. So if you get a duplicate of an item, you get credits. Now, 4,000 credits buys you a loot crate. The credits you receive for getting a double up is about 200 to 400. You only get 4 to 5 items in each thing. So imagine at the end of the game, one of them's always crafting. You've gotten 3 duplicates because you've already got a lot of other stuff. You're returning 600 to 800 credits for your 4,000 investment and you get nothing for it. This is the progression system that they've got in there. So it actively makes it harder for you to get things as you progress through the game. So then you buy credits to buy things and you're still not going to get anything because it's going to be that random chance of you getting that one card that you don't have to help you upgrade or craft into a higher level. So and they've said, look, they've pulled the microtransactions from the game and it's actually made the game actively worse because you now have this terrible progression system in the game and there is absolutely zero way of getting around it. You can't even pay your way around it. You are stuck with this terrible progression system. So,
and that's because the whole game was designed around getting money out of people. Yep. This is not microtransactions being evil. This is the commercialization of video games rearing its ugly head again. They need to stop it. They need to start making games for game's sake. Yeah. And then thinking about the game and doing it properly. Like, there are plenty of games that implement microtransactions in a good way that benefits the gamer or doesn't impede on the gamer should they choose not to, partake in those things. Yeah. It feels like these days, if you don't want to partake in the microtransactions, then you are actively having a harder time or being punished for it.
Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about a game before called The Witcher 3. Now, Witcher 3 often gets up in the top 10 sales chart still, and it's what a 3-year-old game because it is a really good game. They made a really good game that people want to play. They then created DLC for it in the way of expansions, which were just about as big as some games these days anyway. So that is what you do if you want to make a game successful. If they had made Star Wars Battlefront 2 just really, really good and everyone wanted to play it.
You've hit the nail on the head. That is what you do when you want to make a game. EA doesn't want to make games. They want to make services that print the money.
I think you both hit it on the head when you said, they've taken the microtransactions out and the game is worse for it. And that, I don't even know if you could call it a game. The experience is worse for it. If you take out that and the game is worse, then it's a fundamental part of the game and it should never be.
Yeah.
Unless it's a free-to-play platform that survives on that, you know?
Yeah. If Star Wars Battlefront 2 had to come out, here's a free-to-play game and we're going to hit you with lots of microtransactions. I still don't like the loot crate system.
Even then, Dota is a free-to-play game and you don't fucking need... Like, the microtransactions are completely... Optional. They're nothing to the game. You don't need them. Yeah, they're all cosmetic. There's no...
That is the way you do it. And, like, some of these things that you can buy, like, you get out of the crates are increased percentage to auto-aim or extra health, just straight-up extra health. And, like, that's where people were saying it's pay-to-win. And, look, from what I've heard, people don't really see much of a difference when they're playing it in-game. But it was still there.
We could talk about this for hours and just go around in circles. We'll move on to the next topic, and it's still surrounding the same thing. They've come out and said that the... And I want to make this very clear. No, loot boxes are not technically gambling. However, that doesn't mean they're not as nefarious as slot machines, addictive, and need some legislation put around them, because those things are fucking evil.
And they're in the hands of kids.
Yes, they are. I understand.
You can be 12 years old, you can go down to the store, get a PSN card, come back, put it on your PSN account, and you can buy loot boxes with your own money. Therefore, a 12-year-old can, whether it's gambling or not, everyone pretty much says, yes, it has very, very huge amounts of elements of gambling, but technically...
It's technically not gambling because of like, you can't actually lose.
You're always getting something.
No, you can't. You can't lose. You'll always get something. Whether it's a duplicate or not, you'll always get something. Whereas with gambling, you have a chance to lose everything, right? And that's the whole reason. However, you go to any casino, take away the light. Go and try and convince a slot machine maker to take away all their blue lights and take away all their lights and take away all the flashing and the sounds from the slot machines. Mm-hmm. Those manufacturers will tell you to go get fucked because the whole reason that those things are addictive is the reward and the endorphins that are released when all those flashing lights go off and the way that the sound goes off and the reward that you get from the random chance.
Yeah.
That exists in these loot crates regardless of whether you can lose everything or not. We are conditioning kids to gamble.
And this is why the Belgium government is investigating Overwatch and Battlefront 2 loot boxes. I think the Dutch government's come out and said it. French parliamentarians have said we need to look at this. UK parliament people have also come out in the floor of the house saying that this needs to be looked at. There is multiple countries now that are actually actively looking into this and hopefully doing something about it. And can I say,
thank fucking God it is about time.
I think it's the Netherlands one. If Netherlands gets it through, you will not be able to buy a game in Netherlands if it has a loot box in it. It won't be a fine. It won't be a rating. It'll just be zero sales.
That's a big call. That's a big call from that country.
It is, but...
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you've got to wonder, all these companies like EA, the people who are actually making like billions of dollars off their microtransactions and loot boxes, do they actually care if the Netherlands... Like, how big of a market is
That's not the point, though. If the Netherlands starts doing it and then other countries start following, if enough countries start following, you will see pressure on other bigger countries where it will make a difference.
Yeah, but you see pressure on bigger countries now to do things like sign climate change treaties and it doesn't happen. Yeah, how is this any different?
Because kids are involved.
If America doesn't do it... then I think that EA is still going to see a large percentage of their profits.
And saying that, you know, kids are getting, you know, it involves kids doesn't really matter because, I mean, look at gun control. Let's just leave it at that, you know?
You know.
I just positive thinking. Yeah. I'm hoping that this is the only way we will get rid of them. It is the only way that no other way possible for us to get them out of the games.
You know what? You don't even have to get rid of them. Just don't make them as insidious as they are. Don't have all the flashing lights. Don't have all that kind of shit. Just fucking, I don't know. Just, you know, I don't know. Anyway, we got to stop talking about it. I'm getting too fucking depressed. Into some happy stuff.
There's more stuff. A couple more things I want to talk about.
So, you go, Will, okay?
Sales down 50 to 60% on, for physical
sales,
2.
Yeah.
Physical sales, this is compared to Battlefront 1, which is a couple years between drinks, so that can be digital sales could affect that. But it's down also on Battlefield 1 by 50% from last year. So I'm sorry, 60%. So you can't. This is in the UK only, but that's hard to say that that's all digital sales. So there seems to be getting hit in the pocket as well from all this.
Oh, we've spoken to plenty of people who just simply aren't going to buy the game because of all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So hopefully that's the other way, is if we hurt their bottom line, then it'll actually do. But the other thing, EA has now changed the progression system on Need for Speed Payback as well, from community feedback, and I am using inverted commas there. So the aggressive microtransaction system that they had in that.
Fuck EA. Yeah. It's just scum. Like, fuck me.
But
just,
there's stuff like...
Did you hear the story that came out today about the bloke from the... It came out... Like today, I forget where it was from. It was on Reddit. The story that came out that said the bloke who developed Plants vs. Zombies was fired because he didn't want to make Plants vs. Zombies 2 a pay-to-win game. And they said, all right, thank you for your time. See you later.
Wow. And that doesn't surprise me at all. I want to find... So this is a quote that SkillUp put up today. He's doing a lot of research into this. So shout out to SkillUp. But it's talking about the FIFA Ultimate Team. And this is a quote from an article somewhere. So Ultimate Team started as a mode in FIFA, and EA has now implemented it in several other sports franchises. According to Jorgensen, the real opportunity is finding ways to bring similar concept to other EA games, like Battlefield and Battlefront or Star Wars games, which are very similar in the depth of play. We can possibly add similar mechanics to that. We spend a lot of time thinking about it, he said. Not for tomorrow, but not over the next couple of years. We're going to see a lot more of this in our portfolio. That's someone in EA talking about EA themselves. So that's no one else. That's not made up. That's actual content from them. So, yeah, cool. Support EA as much as you want to. The other thing
You know what makes me so mad is, like, they make, like... I really want to play some of these games, and I just it's the same as Shadow of War. I don't want to support this shit.
I actually was fairly keen for Battlefront 2. Like, I thought it was going to be that 40 player online multiplayer looked brilliant, and I really wanted to be part of that, but I'm not. So, but the other thing we didn't touch on with the microtransactions getting pulled was the suspicion, or the pretty much confirmed, that Disney told them to do it as well. So Disney's
Thursday I had big suspicions about that. Actually, I was sort of saying in the Discord, I wonder if Disney stepped in and sort of said, we have $1 billion movie coming out in a month. Fix this shit now.
So the timeline was Belgium, the article about Belgium investigating them for loot boxes and gambling. Then there's a CEO of Disney rang the CEO of EA, and that's confirmed. And then within an hour or two, the microtransactions were pulled out. That's the exact timeline of what happened. So you make your own choice.
100%. Yeah, Disney went, oh yeah, do you want us to kill you? Like, would you like us to send Mickey Mouse over there with a gun and shoot you in your fucking head? Fix this.
See, I honestly think, like, EA would have paid a fortune for this license, right? So that's what, like, and it's not our fault that they've overpaid for this, but Disney would have 100% threatened to pull that. And you know how many games they've got in development that are under EA's Star Wars. So all these, they're paying too much for licenses. Like, they've tied up the FIFA license, they've tied up the Madden license, they've tied up now the Star Wars license. They're paying overs, and we're getting hit for it. And I'm just over it, to be honest. And I've been cranky all day about it. And reading an article today about a financial analyst saying that we're paying not enough for games these days, and it was all fucking bullshit, to be honest. It was fluff. Like, he's saying that games 20 years ago the same price they are now, but he didn't say that 20 years ago the industry was, the revenue from the industry was like a third of what it is now. Therefore, you can carry less of a profit margin when you're making three times the amount. And that's what happens with big business. When you grow, you don't have to make as big a margin anymore on games. So get fucked. Seriously. He didn't mention, he then said that, if a gamer plays this game for 2.5 hours a night all year and he only spends $20 on microtransactions a month, then he's still getting 34 cents on his hour. So it's the best best value in entertainment in history. Who the fuck's going to spend 870 hours playing this fucking game all year and then spend 300 American on it? Seriously.
Fucking well, pull to, your head to be out fair, of the that, always, one thing I always actually thought about with games was the entertainment ratio of money spent. So I used to think you can go to the movies for $20 and see a you know 2 hour movie. That's an average of $10 for every hour of entertainment. Or you can buy a video game for $100 and get if you get 10 hours out of it, that is equal to a cinematic experience at the movies. If you get more than 100 hours out of it, then you're doing pretty well. Then you got other games like you can spend. Like I've probably spent 300 or 400 hours in Tekken 7, and I bought that for $70. So the my enjoyment ratio per hour on that is incredibly high. I can understand why people are saying that where like that enjoyment is undercharged, but that's where you need to focus on building the service, because if you build the service around your game correctly, then players are not going to have a problem giving you some more money to continue to experience that service. Yeah. If you want to try and bleed money out of people, then that is wrong and people won't want to pay. If you make it so they have to pay for the service to enjoy the service, that's wrong.
Yeah. But the other thing too, like EA is in the business of cutting costs because they use the same assets in all their fucking games.
Yeah. We got to stop. We have to stop. We got so much more news to get through. We could talk about this for another fucking 2 hours and it wouldn't be done.
No, it wouldn't be. Just, yeah, cool. Someone needs to ring CD Projekt Red and tell them that not doing the games properly, they need to make more money out of them because they're just not doing it right. And fuck you, EA. You made $500 million profit last year. Anyway, cool.
Yeah, fuck off, EA. Speaking of CD Projekt Red, apparently their new Cyberpunk 2077 game is going to contain some online elements, which is pretty damn rad.
I love this. Then they turned around and said, we're not in the industry of greed. Yeah. We'll leave that to other people. But it does sound hilarious. Really fun. Like the shots that everyone's been taking this week has been hilarious. But I'm pretty psyched about this. Like we've talked about how good The Witcher 3 is. We've talked about how good they do storyline. Oh, hurry up. Please give us another really good game.
Yep, agreed. The Cuphead developers have come out and said that they're sticking with their hand-drawn 2D art for the next game, which is really, really good because that game looked incredible, but that means we can expect the next game in another fucking 10 years.
It'll take some time to draw Batman.
Well, at least then it probably won't be Microsoft exclusive because there might not be an Xbox at that stage.
I've just got to wonder if they're going to implement microtransactions and then you'll get colour,
No.
Oh, fuck, can you imagine?
But then you've got to pay for each individual colour.
Yeah, I've got to share with you, Perko. We're talking to Anthony last night about Damsel. I said, where have you put the loot box? And he said, I really do want to put a loot box in there. I want to put LUTE boxes. I want to put a box that comes out with musical instruments and you get to play musical instruments and call them loot boxes.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. A game that I'm incredibly excited for coming out in actually a few weeks has just added a whole bunch of new fighters. Dragon Ball FighterZ has added Gotenks, Kid Buu, and Adult Gohan if you really want to be a fucking useless prick.
You know what? I'm getting this game, and I'm going to beat you with Adult Gohan. Nah, I'm going to do
You're
it.
Foolish. Do you understand? All right. I fisted Joey. He got a few... Poor Joe. It's very similar to Marvel vs. Capcom. Button inputs, I sort of realized incredibly quickly. So I've only played it once, but Joey had a couple of rounds before me and I walked up and jumped on and just about triple perfected him. You've got no chance, Josh.
It's going to happen.
You fuck.
I just, when you notice that your controller's not plugged in, I need you to ignore that. Ignore that a little bit.
All right.
I thought you were going to feed him alcohol and then not drink yourself and then...
No, that could probably actually happen. I'd still probably beat Josh at this point.
I'm not going to say nothing on that. Because it has happened. It fucking has happened. But let's move on.
Okay.
There's some Steam stuff happening that's causing a whole bunch of issues for international PC gamers. So
yeah,
they've done some dumb stuff with currency. Yeah.
And everything was costing more than it should. It was good. I love it.
Really? Does that mean that Australian games are finally going to be fixed, like the pricing, or is that just... No,
we're going to be paying $300 for a game instead of the normal $150. So, yeah, it's good.
I can't wait. The Incredibles 2 official teaser trailer sort of came out.
That's cool.
And then I realized I'd never seen Incredibles 1.
Yeah, me either. I'm like, this makes no sense. But anyway, cool. Let's go.
Oh, speaking of news that's not in here, did you fuckers see the Rampage trailer?
Yeah, how good was that?
Man, how sick does that look? I love
that game. I do. That was one of the few games I remember growing up. Enjoying.
If you weren't around in the fucking 1900s, like Wilco,
they're still making them back in 2000, man.
So Rampage was an arcade game predominantly that featured a wolf, an ape,
a dinosaur,
and
was it a
wolf, an ape, a dinosaur, and something else?
I thought they added more later in. Oh,
maybe they did. But anyway, so the whole point of the game was to destroy a city. Like, you jumped on the side of buildings and to punch buildings down, and then like more and more troopers would come, and you'd have to like kill them all, and you could eat them for more health and everything. And helicopters are coming to try and blow you out of the sky. And the whole point was to try and demolish buildings.
Because you were a human that grew into this thing, and when you ran out of health, you became human again, and you go to eat the other player and get health back as well. That's good.
Yeah, so Rampage was an old arcade game, and they're making a movie that's based on it, and it looks so ridiculous, and it makes me so happy. It's like this, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, has a pet gorilla who gets infected with some gene thing and grows to the size of, you know, a skyscraper, more or less. So it's more or less King Kong in that sense. And then halfway through the trailer, someone turns to Dwayne and like The Rock and says something like, "Oh yeah, how about that wolf?" Uh-huh. And he's like, "What?" He's like, "Oh, you haven't seen that 100-foot wolf running around?"
Because no one would have reported on that. Fuck that.
Oh man, it just looks so fucking good.
And then all of a sudden there's a crocodile.
Oh, and then there's just shorts of like the wolf, like this massive wolf and this massive ape just destroying a city. Fuck, it just looks great. I cannot wait for that movie. It's going to be dumb, but it's going to be dumb fun.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
The best 7 out of 10 you'll ever see this year.
Oh, mate, that's going to be a solid fucking 9 out of 10 for stupidity, I think. Fuck the script, who cares? I just can't wait to see fucking people get mad at a giant gorilla. So fuck it, Incredibles 2. Go watch Rampage.
That's it.
Watch this, not that. Yeah. Apparently, this is the other big thing that happened in news this week is PUBG got nominated for a whole bunch of Game of the Year awards and triggered a few people, including Wilco.
I don't know what you're talking about. Fuck you.
Fuck, that was... And, yeah, so a lot of people got cranky because a lot of people thought that PUBG doesn't deserve it or shouldn't be involved because it's in early access. Who fucking cares? In the end, it's a game that people are playing. Realistically, having awards for games is dumb anyway. We do it because
Can you talk about our award ceremony we're going to have for games in a couple weeks' time then, please?
Yeah, it's going to be dumb. We're going to have a lot of dumb awards that don't actually mean anything because we're a small outlet, but we're going to do it anyway because we want to.
Yep. Hot tip, Player Unknown Battlegrounds will not get Game of the Year from us.
No, it won't. It might be nominated, but it'll be in the discussions incredibly quickly, and we'll all say, No.
I'm not nominating it. Joey's definitely not nominating it. You're not nominating it, and Josh definitely isn't nominating it, so he's not getting nominated.
It might get nominated by me.
Fuck off. Your opinion is null and void as soon as you nominate it.
Just so I can have that discussion with everyone. No, look, PUBG being a game of the year, in Game of the Year awards, I tend to back that. It is an incredibly, it's a massive, massive phenomenon, and it's a fun game, regardless of how much of a game you think it actually is and how broken it is. You know, people saying, I saw a hilarious tweet saying that developers could take sort of hints from the way that PUBG has perfected their console, which I just cringed at. What I do think is relevant is other developers could take lessons from PUBG in the sense that it is possible to create a fun experience and it not be perfect, but it still be successful. You know what I mean?
I do love the argument of everyone saying that these guys brought Battle Royale to us and everyone's trying to copy them now. Dude, they copied H1Z1.
Well, no, technically the player unknown himself sort of started the Battle Royale.
Yeah, like it was mod, originally, I guess.
Yeah. He was an armor mod, and then he actually worked on H1Z1 and then left and went to PUBG. Yeah. So it's not PUBG didn't bring Battle Royale, but player unknown definitely is one of the four guys, one of the forefronts of the Battle Royale genre. But even still, I still think that in a couple of years, we're going to see the Battle Royale genre just in every fucking game. Like,
I can tell you the game that probably won't be talked about very much at that stage would play Unknown Battlegrounds. Unless he does some stuff to severely turn this around, it's only going to take one really big, good version of the game.
No, but it could be LOL or Dota or WoW. There were like when you think about what World of Warcraft did for the MMO genre, and lots of other people tried, and
World
it just
of Warcraft's
didn't.
A good game. Like it is a polished good game with a lot of content.
Vanilla was pretty rough.
I mean, you got to remember, we're sitting here and saying that PUBG, from our perspective, is not a good game, but the hundreds of thousands of people that are playing it might not agree with us.
No, I can guarantee you that probably 70-80% of those players actually do agree with us. They're only playing it because they're enjoying it, time with their mates, but the game itself is inconsequential. But what backed up my story, which is why we're on this, is Brendan Green himself came out and said that PUBG does not deserve Game of the Year. So there we go. Let's move on to the next topic. Cool.
Who's Brendan Green again, Wilco?
He's player unknown himself.
Yeah, no, just I wanted to make sure you knew that. Just
he's a PAX dude. Come on.
Yeah, we saw him at PAX. It was cool. Yeah. Just in there.
By the way, on side note, PAX Australia just changed their logo to PAX Australia 2018. Get hyped, people. Ooh. Get hyped.
Only got fucking like 300 months to wait. Yeah. The Civ 5 designer, John Schaefer, split from Paradox over creative differences. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. No loot boxes in those games. That's why.
And THQ Nordic has wholly acquired the Biomutant IP and developer Experiment 101. So that's pretty cool. Biomutant was an interesting...
Terrible-looking game, yeah, cool.
Yeah, an interesting sort of IP that probably deserved to not go many places. I don't know. It was an odd one, that's
maybe
for sure.
Maybe I'll turn it into something. You know?
Yeah, maybe. It's just started raining here, so apologies if you start to hear the pitter-patter. It's probably going to get a bit loud very shortly.
Your microphone's just so good, man.
But that's it for news. Anyway, that's it for news. So we'll jump into the listener feedback section. Thank you, everyone, for asking us questions. If you would like to ask us a question, then come and join our Discord channel, or you can shoot us an email at megacast@ultrasupermega.com.au. First bit of listener feedback comes from Benson. Should Reddit users/abusers, or the 40,000 people subbed to the Star Wars Battlefront 2 subreddit, calling for death threats / harm to be claiming, should they be claiming a win for the changes that were implemented by EA? So Benson is asking, should all the people who were pissed off about Star Wars Battlefront 2 think of the changes as a win, quote unquote? It depends on what changes you're talking about. The changes...
This might have actually been it last week, so I might have dragged it forward as well, but it was the changes with the 75% discount to credit for two main heroes.
I think the bit that we're overlooking there is what he's saying is that those Reddit users and abusers that are calling for death threats / harm. So those particular people that are going to that next level.
No.
And no, they shouldn't be claiming a win. They shouldn't be doing that shit to begin with.
But see, I don't know if any of them actually did that now.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But there's no need, regardless of where we get in anything, there's no need to be calling for somebody to be, you know, a developer or people who work at the developers or whatever to be, you know, death threats or harm.
Nah.
Shouldn't have.
100%. Nah.
Man, here at USM, we live by a very simple rule. Don't be a dickhead.
Yeah.
That's about
EA,
it. Just don't be a dickhead.
Yeah, you heard that rule.
Yeah, just don't, man. Yeah, it's very easy to tell when someone's been a dickhead or when you're about to be a dickhead. Don't do it.
It's pretty simple.
Don't be a dickhead. End of it. Yeah, very simple rule. Look, I think that it's pretty hard to win against something that shouldn't have happened in the first place. Or
I don't think anyone's won out of this whole thing. I don't think we've won. I definitely don't think the publishers have won. Or the developers.
I actually tend to think that we have won in the sense that for the first time, publishers have seen what we will do if you push us too far. And us is the colloquialism I'm using for gamers as a whole. Mm-hmm. Sales are down 60%. Their name is in the mud. Every single day, there are new revelations about EA that are sprawling to the front page of Reddit. And this company is, their stocks are dropping a large amount.
That's the thing. I was going to say, the only thing that really concerns them is the fact that their stock is dropping.
And they're losing money. And for the first time, they've tried to force something on us and it hasn't gone their way. We've pushed back as a unit, as one, and gone, nah, fuck you. We're not going to stand for this. And it's caused them financial stress. How much financial stress is yet to be seen, whether or not it's enough for it to not happen in the future. I would call this, I don't know how much of a big win, but it's a small win on our side. A small one. The overall experience of it. I don't know how big of a win or how much of a lasting impact it'll have, but I think it's a small one.
I think that's a fair call.
Yeah, it's definitely like... It's the biggest thing I remember in history. Not in history, but it's the biggest thing in the last year or two that I've seen happen. And I really am interested to see the following probably 6 to 12 months to see what does come of it, to be honest.
Yeah. Yep. Timbo has asked, are you disappointed that you weren't nominated for the podcast of the year despite being clearly the best?
No,
not really. Not really. It's been a pretty up and down year for us. I'll be the first to say that. You know, we've missed a few episodes here and there. We've been through some changes.
I think that we missed this year that we're going to fix next year is the guests. Like, I do want to get more guests on this thing rather than just us talking about shit each week. Well, we've made moves towards that. Like you've seen with Super Hype Train, change fairly significantly in the last 2 to 3 weeks. And a lot of those guys had a lot of fun for starters. And I think it's some of the best content we've created for that podcast to date. And we're bringing them over as well when the new year comes around. So like I said, we're going to have Pez tonight. And I was really excited because I think the stuff that we're going to be talking about was going to be really good. But obviously, that didn't happen. But yeah, that's one of the big changes. And we haven't promoted it this year, to be honest. Like, I've been slack on promoting it in Facebook. So those awards are very clicky, very, very... The people who nominated each other, we sort of weren't in on that group most of the year. So.
And like, as much as I love those Dash Gamer Awards, and I think they're really cool, and I, you know, big shout out to Dash for doing those every single year. Regardless of whether, you know, we're nominated for that or not, this year we saw the most growth, like we saw more growth than we did last year. You know, we hit, you know, 1,000 podcast downloads a week and all that sort of stuff this year. Fantastic milestones. So, you know, it's kind of sucks, but not too worried because we're doing okay.
Yeah, we'll be better next year. That's the main thing.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm,
we're better every year afterwards.
Demuji has asked, Wilco is angry tonight and I think PUBG should be GOTY. Game of the year. Fair enough, mate. Well, you know.
That's his opinion. He's allowed his
opinion. You're a dory. But his real question is, why are you so angry, Wilco? We love you. Also, what do you see in Rumu? It looks boring.
Bloody Jesse. Anyway, I'm angry mainly because that article I read about the financial analysis being so wrong. It's been quoted as financial analysis. Rumu, I see a very, very cool puzzle game with a fairly deep story considering... the aspect of the game, and I love AI, and it's telling a story about artificial intelligence. And from what I didn't actually get hands on, but I watched Whip play it pretty closely for about 15 minutes at PAX. And yeah, the puzzles look very intriguing. And just the world's beautiful, to be honest. That's what I'm seeing. And if it looks boring, I don't mind because I'm going to love it. And we're going to have those guys on a podcast fairly soon as well. So.
Beautiful. Yeah. Last Wave Agent has asked, gamers have a unique relationship with studios. We buy a game and then test it while playing, which leads to changes and more testing and so on and so forth. In most areas of life, we expect a thing to function as it should straight out of the box. Why is it different with games?
I don't know that it is.
Functioning, yeah, something functioning out of the box and something being the best it possibly can be out of the box are completely different things. Like I expect a door, like I bought a door handle today, and I expect that thing to work when I install it. I also, if I was to go buy a new game today or tomorrow, I would expect it to work as soon as I put it in. Now, the fact that you know the developers or the makers or the architects behind that door handle can't really improve on it. It is a solid design, and the way that it is made means that you can't really make modifications to it once it's out there and on shelves. The fact that developers can do it with games is probably the reason why it is different, because they can see change. They can make changes. Like if you go back 20 years, it wasn't like that with games. It wasn't like games were on cartridges and there was no internet, and you know, you bought a game and then that was it. If it worked, it worked. If it didn't, and if you didn't like it, it wasn't that great, and there wasn't really many changes made to it. I think it was the first time that I remember there was a really, really broken character released in Street Fighter, one of the iterations of Street Fighter 3 on the arcade machines or something like that. No, it was Cinder. Cinder on Killer Instinct was so broken that the guys behind Killer Instinct had to send a technician around to all like 17,000 or something arcade cabinets around America to patch him, to make him not completely broken. That was the kind of levels that people had to go through back in the day to update a game or to make it better or for it to function like as it should out of the box. The fact that we got the internet now and the fact that games can be updated is probably the reason why it is different.
You probably hit that on the head.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It can be, so it is. The other thing, like we had an interesting discussion with the boys and girls from Screwtape last night, and because they're going into Steam Early Access before they launch, and they said it's purely for a testing purposes. When they Megs herself used to be in QA, and they said she was selling how that role is pretty much gone these days, because like you could test a game on PCs back in the day and you'd be a fairly accurate in what people might have. There wouldn't be too much variation, but now there's so many variations to test a PC game for all the possible bugs. There's no way to do it unless you release it into the wild. And that's what they're using Steam Early Access for. The game's finished. The game's ready to go, but they just want to test it and squash some of the bugs that they can't quite work out. And they're using the player base to do that. And while the player base is happy to do that, and the developers happy to have that relationship with them, it will continue. And that's the joy of gaming in some respects, because we can help shape a game before it actually releases the games we love out there. So PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds is the best example of that. Like, people bought that back in March or February, and they've worked with Brendan himself in through the forums and given the feedback, and now the game is potentially the game of the year and got 20 million people and, you know, 2 million concurrent players, because people have given the feedback and he's listened to it. So, yeah, it's an upside, I think, to our industry at the moment.
I think it's a massive upside. Really, yeah, 100%. Up
there. And I think it's really just got to do with the fact that, as you said, you know, games don't have to be a static item now. And that's what it is, you know.
No.
Again, I've been saying for weeks now, we need to stop thinking of games as games, and we need to start thinking about as entertainment services in a lot of ways. Well, the ones that try to be, because they're not trying to be just a video game that you buy and you play and is a static thing, and that's the way it's always going to be.
Yeah.
It's an evolving thing. It's forever evolving now. A lot of these are services. They're entertainment services that you're buying into for some sort of long-term investment. No one wants to pick up a game. No one wants to pick up a game that is advertised in the same way that something like Destiny 2 is, and be done with it in 3 weeks. No one wants that anymore. They want that investment. They want to be going back to that game every couple of months or every couple of weeks for a year or 2 years or 3 years. Games have changed drastically and dramatically over the past 5 to 10 years.
And I think we need to stop thinking of them with, you know, the whole internet with communities now building up around this game. You feel like you're part of a community now more than you ever have before in the game. And feeling like you're included, like for gamers, like some of us gamers who grew up not being able to talk to anyone about their favorite game for so long, like it just makes sense that we want to now circle ourselves around these games. We're talking about cricket before in the Discord, and Perko got pretty angry about it, but
I didn't get angry, I said it was shit.
It was the same thing though. People who love cricket just go around the cricket and they're always talking about how they can improve the game or how they can improve the national side or whatever it is. It's the same thing, but with games now. So you can talk about your particular game for months and months and years on end and how you can improve it.
I think we're going to see it through a lot more of those other areas of life where it's not, you know, like let's just look at Tesla, for example. You know, like you can buy a Tesla car and They can release an update that makes it faster and do a bunch of different stuff to it overnight while it's in your garage. So it's a different car effectively when you get in the next day. So as technologies and everything advance, we're going to see more and more of that hit our everyday life. It's not going to be just games that are a non-static thing that we purchase anymore. It's going to be a lot more of what we do and what we buy.
Yeah, it's more widely normalised. The whole updating and changing and stuff and evolution is more, it's more widely recognised with games, but it happens everywhere. Like I do a lot of work with things like Azure and Amazon, which are cloud based services, and those change every fucking day. They had on Amazon, they have like 70 new releases of code every single day. The AWS service as it stands now is vastly different to the AWS service that it was 6 months ago when I first bought into it personally. You know, like. So it's not just in games. It's across a lot of different facets. It's generally got to do with software, but you know, it's just different because it can be different because the way the world is now allows it to be different and it betters us. Yep. So I think that's the reason it's happening. Next question.
Look at those. Quickly, just look at those rich old fools out there with lots of money. They send their wife in for a service every couple of years. They get some plastic done to them and some enhancements done. It's always been around. Seriously,
moving on.
I'm not touching that with a fucking 10-foot pole, mate. Hey, Stevie Jar has come in and asked, if microtransactions are inserted into a game and podcasters are not around to hear it, did it really happen? Yes, Stevie Jar, because inserting microtransactions into a game doesn't make a sound, you cheeky fuck.
That's, yep.
Maybe.
I'm not touching that one.
Yep, it happened.
Yeah, I don't know.
He likes triggers, people.
He does. He likes attempting to trigger people. That's about it. What are you looking forward to?
Look, heaps of stuff. I personally, I know you were asking me then when you just randomly asked and you didn't point it at anyone, but I'm looking forward to finishing.
You just can't see me.
I know. Looking forward to Hand of Fate 2, some more of that. I'm really loving it and looking at finally finishing it in the next couple of weeks. Damsel, now I've got the copy of it. Really looking forward to just like some of the levels you can get through in like, you know, 10, 15, 20 seconds. Anthony was explaining how they created that. So you can jump in, jump out and just, you know, play a level here and there rather than getting really heavily addicted. He also said some of his inspiration came from Doom where that fast paced driving you on to the next thing sort of action he's trying to get that in the platforming game that he's got there. So yeah, look, I'm really enjoying that. Hopefully more of that. The Eye of Ara, which is a point and click adventure, which I know Josh got a bit stuck on, but I played it at PAX and I really got addicted to it and then sort of forgot about it, but it's there. I want to play it and I want to give some feedback on it eventually as well. I've got to play some Witch Thief between now and our podcast with the boys about that. So pretty keen. I realized we had a CD key and I put it there and I hadn't played it yet. So keen to get some more Spryke on, and if I can justify, I've got some money in credit on the PSN store. It'll be either that Assassin's Creed I purchase or Wolfenstein 2, and I'm probably leaning towards Wolfenstein 2 at the moment, but we'll see what other sales on Steam bring me. But yeah, nice. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Beautiful, Josh. What are you looking forward to, man?
In a couple of weeks.
And
looking forward to that. Yeah, having lunch with my brother tomorrow, which will be good.
Will he know you're having lunch with him though?
Or what? Nachos
tomorrow. That's right. I'm working.
I'm a little bit jealous now. Actually, I want nachos.
I'm working on some other stuff that I can't talk about just yet. Some reviews and stuff that we can't really mention yet. So that's coming.
Hey, what? No one listens. Tell me.
You're a real funny guy, eh? You're a real funny
guy. Fuck off, Wilco.
And yeah, just I don't know, like probably just everything else coming out at the end of this year, man. Like it's been a big year.
Well, can I just say real quickly, I'm just going to talk over right here, fuck off, because the countdown is on, boys. Monster Hunter World. The countdown is on Monster Hunter World.
Never heard of it. Is it good or is it hyped or what? Anything about it?
Fuck off. Monster Hunter World.
Okay.
That's all anyone needs to know.
Are you getting on PS4 just for the people to know?
Dunno. Maybe. My computer's a piece of shit, so probably.
Stevie Jar needs to know, because if you're going to get it on PS4, he needs to buy a PS4 so he can play with you.
I really
get a PS4.
Yeah, man, this game is going to be fucking sick. Very excited. That Dragon Ball Fighter Z and a few other games coming out in early January as well. I'm pretty damn keen for the next few months. There's like going to be some fucking good games coming out.
We've discussed, early this year, we've said that 2017 is from our memory, one of the best years for gaming, you know, with the releases and everything that hit. And now just looking forward into 2018, I just feel like the start of 2018 is just keeping that momentum going, you know, and the caliber of stuff looks like it's releasing in that first quarter of 2018, man. It's going to be another fucking ripper year, really.
There is no doubt about it. Despite all the drama that is happening and all of the shit with microtransactions and gambling and loot boxes and all this, there has never been a better time to be a fan of video games and to be playing video games. It is fucking phenomenal right now. Wilco, where can we catch you, man?
Wilco's Chill Zone on a Twitter and a Twitch. So I'm basically just streaming Monday nights for the podcast and a little bit of indie games afterwards, and Friday for the boys' night. Most of the other nights, unfortunately, I can't make it. But yeah, hit me up on Twitter, people. Say hello on Twitter. I want to have some conversations on Twitter about anything other than loot boxes.
Josh, where can we catch you? Twitter. Give me a shout out if you want to play something that I've got on the PS4 or the PC or something, and we'll have a game.
Sounds good. And you can catch me, like always, at Super Mega Matthew on Twitter and the Discord. You can catch me as Deacon_Fall on PlayStation 4 and Kizaru on Steam if you want to verse me at Tekken at all. And you can catch all of us at our website, ultrasupermega.com.au. And we'll see you guys next week.
Okay, see you. Don't forget, if you want to hear Joey, you need to add some more money to this podcast, please. Thank you, mate.
Come back, Joey.